Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, say an amen.
Amen.
Let's take our declaration of understanding because we are going to study the word of God before we continue to pray. So let's declare it. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 All right, the Lord is good.
All
right. Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. I want to talk about the intercessory duties of every believer. What did I say? The intercessory duties of every believer. That's what we're going to be talking about for a few meetings, and we're going to be praying in line with our duty as Christians. Now, I'm going to start it like this. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. There are two ways we get our blessings in life. One of them is you make requests of the Lord and He grants your requests when they are made according to His will. There is another method in which you do not ask for something. It is just given to you even though you do not even ask for it. All right? And there is a reason why He does it. It's called a reward. So you see a man like the Shunammite woman, that woman of Shunem, she took care of Elisha and his ministry, that is him, his servant, or whatever number of servants they came with, and he used to take good care of them. And one day she spoke to her husband, because they were well-to-do. They could afford it, so she asked the husband to build a small guest room for the prophet. Make a long story short, she was so kind to the prophet that the prophet took notice. She had nothing in mind. She was not trying to gain anything from the man. So Elisha said to her, "What can we do for you?" She said, "Nothing." And then she left, and she meant it. She had no prayer point. She had no favors to ask. Some people will give. They now want you to pray. These days, if you give and you say I should pray, I will not pray. If you tie it to your request of prayer, I will tell you nicely that I will not pray for you. Give your offerings and go away. Are you getting my point? Because you see, let me just tell you as a small aside. If you are, because you give a large offering, you are not asking for prayer. You've brought a bit of self-righteousness into your request mix. I say all the time, don't mix your good works with your request from God. In fact, I added this one some time ago. Let me just remind us. If it's maybe creeping into your mind, all right, get on your knees and confess that thought to the Lord to please remove it. Sometimes you think everybody has understood what you are saying, but many times they do things, it's clear they've forgotten. So I'll repeat some things I've said again and again. Never think of the good you have done when you're asking for something from the Lord. Don't connect the two. It is bad, it is wrong, it is sinful. You are undermining the mercy of God. If you help 100 children go to school whose parents maybe couldn't help them, don't because of that turn around and say, "God will take care of my children." The first one will fall sick tomorrow. If that thought crosses your mind and stays there, you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you for the privilege of doing these things. And if you give us more to do, we shall do it. And peradventure, there's some we have not yet done. Let us know. Lest we fall short of the calling you have for our lives." That should be your attitude. Never feel I have done something, I should get something. The reason why you don't get answers to prayers is because you feel you deserve it. You hear what I said? Once you feel you deserve an answer to prayer, you have sinned. I'll say it the way it is. I don't care who's preaching the opposite to you. I will say my own. Then you go home and go and decide the one the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And I don't have time to argue with anybody. I'll just say my own. If you bring your complete tithe card to the place of prayer, you're a sinner. If you give the Lord, in quotes, all right? I said in quotes because some things he did not command. Your pastor commanded. You give to your pastor. You say it's the Lord. Let's just assume that he's the one. If you give the Lord first fruit on 31st of January. Is that 31st in January? Yes. And then 1st of February, you go and pray. Because you've done that, you have sinned. If you start your prayer with Lord, because the Israelites, they had some things they said. Like they finished tithing, you will say, I have removed the hallowed things from my house. If you follow it with, so God, hey, you wanted to bless me, go ahead. That's a sin. The other day, I heard one man on television that said, I burst into laughter. It's not really, I just remembered it now. He said, God, we are ready for your blessing now that we have recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I almost fell down where I was at. Who told you God will bless you because of that? If I recognize North Fair as the capital of Anambra State, how does that? Listen, please, brethren, let's stop cracking jokes. Is that okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And even if the Lord was happy that you did, which I can assure you, he doesn't care. I can assure you. Take my word for it, he doesn't care. What you recognize as a capital is your problem. Are you getting my point?
Uh-huh.
Now, let me assume he did. Once you base that, say, God, hey, now you bless us. Let me tell you what happens so that you don't forget it. Satan springs up right beside you on the opposite side of the Lord and starts accusations. That is when you recognize that there are places you have not yet recognized. So you have recognized Jerusalem. God will now tell you, what about Enugu? What are you doing about recognizing where my children are gathered? Satan knows some things you don't know. That's when accusation will start. Be careful that you do not place yourself in the place of accusations. Play your game where Satan cannot talk. Once you start making claims to what you have done, he automatically gets the right to start making accusations. Now notice, you started with claims concerning that which you have done. He has a just right at that point in time to bring forth accusations concerning that which you have not yet done. And God must listen to him. That's the way he is. The Lord will listen. And he will balance it. And if you lose, he will issue his decree against you. So always place the mercy card. So you come before the Lord. In myself, I don't deserve this answer. What can Satan say? He doesn't deserve it. God says, that's not what he said. Are you getting my point? He said, yes, he knows. But I have come because of the mercy which is available to me in Christ Jesus. Once you say that, Satan will go and look for another person to trouble. He loses immediately. See, you have to learn to balance things in Christianity. That sense of personal unworthiness should always be with you. Don't ever lose it because you've learned righteousness. Let your confidence always be that which you have in who? In Christ. I know sometimes, you know, when we're thinking about being new creations, we get carried away. Please, remember, you do not deserve anything in yourself. You cannot merit anything in yourself. No matter how... Now, see, you know the good thing about being a wicked person? You know the good thing about being the wicked person? When you come to the Lord, you know there's nothing. I mean, like, do you get my point? There's nothing. Say, I'm going to see God. He will help you. Well, maybe he will help me. So when you are going, what do you say? Lord, I beg. Please, I need help. What's the first word? Have mercy on me. And that's a song. It's a song in the Lord's ears. But the good person... Oh my God, they have their problems. I thank you, Lord, I'm not like some people here. I don't know whether they are listening to me or maybe they are praying near me. They can hear. They are tax collectors. They are wicked people. We see the way they behave. But we just thank God they were not like them. The other person said, Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus said, who will be heard quicker? That's the person that will be justified. That's why, look, being good is a temptation. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
Being good is a temptation.
This life, you must learn how to handle your temptations. When you're a good person, you have to fight pride. I've heard people brag on how much they fasted. God will hear. When I hear it, my skin moves. Say, can't you just touch the wrong part of the Lord? After 1 week of biribiri. You know what they call biribiri? As this Lagos woman. Have you told them what is biribiri? No food, no water, nothing. No brushing your teeth, self. I'm telling you. After 1 week, some people feel like God will hear. Let me say it again. He will not. Hunger doesn't move him. Your thirst does not move him. Look, listen. Israel fasted so much. God said, why don't you just rent your heart, not your garment? Do you get my point? Because what he wanted was repentance. And he wasn't getting it. He said, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? So people now misinterpret. They said that what God said, when you are fasting, you will do it. No, God didn't say so. He didn't say so. He said, what you call a fast is not what I call a fast. What I call a fast is depart from doing iniquity. It's not whether you eat or not. It doesn't really bother me. Are you eating my food? Like, is it when I'm supposed to eat, you're not eating? The food you're eating is your food. Are you getting the point? That's the point. So the Lord said, look, this doesn't bother me. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever go to God and have the smallest sense of, I don't try. God will answer. No. Anytime you go to him, what do? Ask for mercy. Now, just a small aside. You know, we keep reminding people. Because, you know, one of the reasons they hear the opposite so much. Tomorrow, now somebody will come on air and say, you will take your seed and say to God, please, when they say it like that, I've told you, go to the offering basket, drop your offering. If you must say anything to God, what do you say? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege. I pray that the people, that this church, the people I'm giving to, will find this money useful. Lord, I would love to give them so amount. What I brought is only a fraction. Please bless it so that it will have a massive effect in their lives. And go away. Back to our teaching. So the woman didn't expect anything. Then he said to the servant, so what do we do? This servant said, she has no son. Elisha said, that's my specialty now. I know how to handle that. Call her for me. She walked in and the man said, by this time next year, you will embrace a son. Now, she so did not expect it, she told the man, don't lie to me. She didn't expect it. She did not do what she did because of what she wanted. She did not think she was triggering anything. We are the ones learning now and seeing some of the things that God does. When this woman was doing that, she was not thinking of anything. She so didn't expect it. That when the man says, man of God, don't. I know you think I've been nice to you and you're looking for what to do for me, but don't lie. But anyway, a few weeks later, she was pregnant. By the following year, she had delivered a son. There's another story of what happened to the boy afterwards, but she was not expecting anything. I hope you're getting my point. All right. So two reasons God gives things to us. One, we ask. We ask in faith. We discover his promises and we make claim based on those promises. Dear Lord, do this. And he does it. The second reason, you did not ask for it. You were not thinking about it. But you did certain things that in his wisdom, he said, this triggers a kind of blessing. Once I was in university, you know, sometimes people read things upside down. We had a brother on campus then. He used to do something he called digest the word. He would take small cards, print on them, and stick them all over campus. Do you get my point? You're walking around campus, you just get to a signboard. You just see something like, just to make an example. God is good, he's faithful, trusting in him is the way to go. They will sign it, digest the word. He had them, little cards like that, you know, printed. He had them all over campus. It must have been hundreds and hundreds of them. Digest the word. So that brother used to do that. So one day I was talking to another brother, you know, When you learn something small, sometimes we start misjiving, mistalking. So now say, he said, this guy is spending a lot too. He now said something. He said, he had, now listen to this. Very foolish statement. He said, I hope he's believing he's receiving. No. He had better be believing he's receiving. Otherwise, this will come to nothing. Yeah. I looked at him, I couldn't believe what I just heard. That he has to activate the blessing by believing that he's receiving. As he's spending money promoting the gospel, as he's spending money and time, was a student, and he's spending his energy. Look, by the way, that guy was not a joker. One day, he went, just a small aside, you know, I give you Jesus never. Walked in an engineering classroom. In the evening, went to preach to one guy. The guy was smoking. So he reached out, took the cigarette from the guy's mouth, quenched it, and settled down to preach. And that guy looked and he got up and gave him a dirty slap. He walked back to his seat, prayed for a while. He came back, told the guy, this is your last year on campus. They dismissed the guy next year. The vice chancellor dismissed that guy next year for another unrelated issue. He just walked to the guy, said, this is your last year in this university. It was a prophetic unction. He just went to his seat, he came back, he said, this is your last year on this campus. That guy was dismissed by the VC the following year for an unrelated offense. It was a confra boy. So he wasn't a joker. That guy, he wasn't a joker. The whole campus knew him. He carried the gospel. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Somebody said that he had better believe he's receiving. I said, believing is receiving for what now? Okay, by the way, he wasn't trying to receive. Let's just clear that. He was trying to preach. God gives things that he did not ask for. That's why if you listen to my message titled The Key to... I've forgotten the name of that message now. I talk about the continual doing of good works. Do what is good constantly. Many things we do, they have rewards attached. Don't forget that. I said you should open somewhere. Matthew chapter 5. So first point I've made today, there are two basic reasons we get things. Of course, there are other ones just in this context, because if somebody is praying for you, that's another reason. Is that okay? They can make supplications on your behalf. Matthew chapter 5, just want to bring out something. We're talking about prayer, so let's stick on the matter of prayer. I said 5, right? It's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. From verse 1, it said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Go to verse 5. It said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. What do they have in full? Yeah. Their reward. Now, what is their reward? The praise of men. The approval of men. The acclaim of men. I was listening to this man the other day, the Indian old man. Not Sadhu. Sadhu is not old. Zach Punen. He said that when he was younger, he used to hear people say that they prayed for this length of time. So he said he was thinking about, when will I reach this level? He said later on something dawned on him. How did they know? How did anybody know? I don't get the point. You don't get the point? Somebody said, I prayed for 30 days. He said, how do... Okay, they say that maybe, Pastor Dami prayed for that 30 days. He said, how did they know? Except that he came to brag about it. He said, if you prayed for 30 days, Jesus forbids you from bragging about it. So no matter how long does he pray, he said, you are not there, you will not know, he will not tell you. It's none of your business. The commandment was that do it privately, do it secretly, don't brag about it. He said, so he decided to keep quiet. So if he prays for 1 week, he's not telling you. It doesn't concern you. You are not his prayer partner. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes we fall into these things. I heard a man preaching once. They asked whether I could pray for, is it 5 hours? I said, lap. I said, we do 12 normally. I say, what is all this? What's all this noise? What is all of this? What's all the noise? What's all the bragging about? Just go and pray and leave it. Eh? After all, how long are we supposed to pray? Pray without ceasing. So leave it. Eh? If you are obeying the scriptures, you will have prayed for 24 hours in the last 24 hours. Okay, let's leave the time you were sleeping. And it's very possible if you understand the habits of prayer. Please, I hope you are following us on our podcast, the Teach Us to Pray series. You know it's very possible to pray all the time. It's very, very possible. Thanksgiving is prayer. If you are giving thanks all the time, you are praying. Is that okay? So the Lord Jesus, what did he say? He said, when you are praying, which verse are we stopping? Five. He said, so they have their reward in full. That's their approval, their claim, the respect of men. He said, but you. Somebody say, but you. Which means do your things differently. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you have King James, he says openly. Now, what I want to emphasize is what he said, reward. He did not say, we answer you. Jesus knew what he was saying. There is no confusion as to what is answer, what is reward. He knew what reward meant, and he knew what answer meant. If you wanted to say, and they are not the same. Are they the same? No. If I ask the Lord for money, and they give me money, it is not a reward. What is that? An answer. It's a blessing, it's an answer. What is the reward? It's simple. A reward is something you do. A good work you did, and you have a blessing is placed upon you, given to you, because of that thing that you did. That's the reward. Are you getting my point? Back to the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman showed honor to the prophet. She wasn't sowing the seed, like I said, but then she received a son in reward, which she did not ask for. She wasn't asking for. She just gave because she wanted to give. And she said to herself, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God that is passing by us every day. She asked her husband's permission to build a guest house for him. And as a result, she got the child. So that was a reward. That's what the Bible calls a prophet's reward. If anyone gives to a prophet so as to sow into the prophet's life and tap a blessing, what do you get? Nothing. What the Bible says, if he gives to a prophet because he's a prophet, you are trying to help somebody who is serving the Lord. You are trying to help somebody who is propagating the gospel. You love the gospel. That's what you are trying to do. He said, you will receive what? A prophet's reward. What exactly is a prophet's reward? I've tried in previous time to explain it, but I don't know for sure. But I just know there's a prophet's reward. Fact, you know, you see, maybe, I've heard people say it, is this men of God? When they are going to heaven, they have a lot of work to carry along. God said, see, they didn't do it by themselves. Alone. The thing you can see was contributed to by many. Do you follow? The person you can see is just one. See, let us assume, let's take Kingdom World Ministry as an example, all right? Many people have been blessed through this ministry. That's not a bragging thing, just trying to give fact, all right? I've gotten testimony all over the place. I told you the last time I was now, I stopped in the nature, waiting for my wife. One man recognized me, told me how Kingdom World has changed his life, and one particular message that transformed him, which he had gone to keep for his children to grow up. That when they grow up, they must listen to it. Yeah, a particular series. Do you follow? Now, so let's use him and people like that as an example. All right? Some people say, see, Paul, Pastor Bank is doing God. Say, relax. He's one man. I use his voice. Let's leave it there. There are so many other things that go along, and only one person knows. Only the Lord. Billy Graham, we all know about Billy Graham. I tell his story. The day I read his book, I did not know. Can I use the expression? Please, pardon me. He was not the founder of the ministry, nor the owner of the ministry. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He was not the founder, he was not the owner. If I may use that expression. What was his name on it? His friends, behind his back, there were four of them, started the organization together. Behind his back, they put his name when they went to do formal registration. What was their reason? They said because he's a face that people associate with their work. So that when they will know what we are referring to. So if you say Kingdom World Ministries, you don't know who's Kingdom World Ministries. So they said, so if you see Americans, they use names a lot. They, you see, is Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you know, is Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They use names a lot. That's typical of Americans. Okay? Now, we in Nigeria, we don't do that much. We do it, even when we do, it's really something behind. But we use Kingdom Word Ministries, Latter-day Ministries, you know, Jesus is Coming Again Association, and stuff like that. But Americans, they do it the other way. They put people's names. So they put his name. So even amongst men on the earth, in case you don't know, he was a salaried worker. The organization paid him a salary. Decisions were not made by him alone. So, what God calls, when we talk about prophet's reward, all the people that cooperate to have that thing done, they share the reward. How does he do it now? I don't know. And I will not even pretend to give you, to be able to give you details. But just know that that is just the way it is. So now, second point, you understood what reward is now. It's different from answer. But what we are bringing out from here is the fact that there are prayers that have reward. It's a reminder. We've talked about this over the years. I mean, I've not talked about it recent times, though. From what we are saying, Jesus said these people will pray, and they can have a reward with men, and they can have a reward with God. Let's look at the kind of prayer they prayed. He said again, which verse? Verse 5. Do not, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. I always like to say it like this. You think he was confessing his sins? No, answer me. Was he confessing? The person praying in the street corner was confessing his sin? Was praying for his wife and children? No, think about it. Do you think he was praying for his wife and children? She goes to the street corner to pray for her business? It's not possible. Look. When we were on campus those days, we go to a sports complex to pray. You hear people praise God loud. You hear them declare the word loud. You never hear their personal request loud. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of all the nations. Oh, thank you, Jesus Christ. You died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. And but you see what I was trying to explain to you. When it is time to ask for something, the voice vanishes. And it makes sense. If you're waiting for him to get there, you wait for a very long time. If he wants to confess his sins, he will not raise his voice. So you now know, you know, God will forgive him. You will not forgive him. So he's not going to tell you. He doesn't want to tell you the financial problems he's having or the health challenges he's having. So when Jesus said he'd love to pray on the street corners, that tells you automatically that those were not personal prayers. They were not personal prayers. I can tell you for sure. What was those prayers? They were prayers for the redemption of Israel. They were prayers. Look, the prayer was for the redemption of Jerusalem. They prayed for the nation openly. They could shout it loud. They prayed for the removal of the tyranny of the Romans. They could shout that loud. They could pray for the exiles to return home. They could shout that loud. The prayer was for Israel. It was for the kingdom. It was for the coming of the Messiah. And God looking at them said, get out, I'm not listening. Because they were doing it for what? For show. But that tells me again. And Jesus said, if you truly, you're passionate about those things, and you carry them to your closet. Jesus didn't say, look, he knew you wouldn't pray about your personal issues in public. He doesn't have to tell us not to do it. He doesn't. He didn't have to tell us not to do that. He knew that the prayers they were praying were prayers that was not that were not for themselves. So he told them, look, even when you are praying like that, go into it. If really you are passionate about it, it's God you are praying to. You're not trying to show off to anybody. Go to a corner and go and pray. What am I saying? He said what? You receive what? Let me hear it again. A reward. Now, what did I get from that? It shows that certain kinds of prayers get a reward. And it makes sense because, you see, if I need money and I pray for money and God gives me money, see, I've not done anybody a favor. There's nothing I've done that should reward me. He has answered me. I was solving my problems. But if somebody else was in trouble and I took the fellow's matter and I agonized over it, and instead of sleeping, I'm praying for somebody who does not even know me much
or is not even aware that that thing is important to me. But I'm, you know, God looks at it, Kai, this is a good heart. And prayer is work. I hope you get my point. It is work. That's what he rewards. That is what he rewards. And that's the thing I'm trying to explain to us, to remind us of. God rewards intercessory prayer. God rewards prayers of supplication made on behalf of someone else. He rewards it. He rewards it. Now, one of the reasons why he rewards that, it is work that he needs done on the earth. Anything God wants to do, he recruits people to work with him. One of the things they do is pray. When Jesus was coming, Hail Mary, she was, now I can say this, I think I'll be fairly correct. Don't swear by it, but I like to be correct. Mary was not praying. She was a good girl, she wasn't praying. She didn't want anything was happening. She was a nice young woman, good church girl, but she wasn't praying. Who was praying? Simeon. Who was praying? Anna. And I'm convinced, and multitudes, many people like them, who the Bible did not mention their names. God will give them revelation. I say it to you again. Their prayers kept Mary. Their prayers kept Joseph. Their prayers kept the little boy. That's how God is. These men lived, someone like Simeon. I don't know how long he lived, maybe 200 years, but he wasn't a young man. He lived for so long, he was tired of living. The day he saw the boy born, he was happy the boy was born, but he said, finally I can die. That's what he said. He said, now that he said that thy servant can depart in peace. Now that my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, because God had told him, if I go by Sadu's estimate, that man may even have up to 300, because we don't know. He was so old, I guess people lost count of how old he was. And it was, you know, the way it's like, your friend died, oh, this is sad though. Then your children died, their mate died, this is very sad, Abby. Then grandchildren are now, no, they're not dying because of disease, because they are old. And you just wonder, what am I still doing here? That was the situation Simeon was in. And God has said to him, you will not, I'm sure he prayed harder. Even though he loved the Lord, he wanted the purpose of God done, but he wanted to die also. And if you live at that time, you will want to die. No. You are not a Pharisee. You are not one of the bourgeois. You are not one of the oppressors. You are one of the oppressed. You will want, and you have seen oppression. Oppression makes people sad. But I'm talking about the fact that he was a prayer warrior. He was one of those who prayed. Listen, don't assume that everything will have gone right. If everything will have gone right without their praying, God would not have raised them to pray. Which is my next point. In fact, what I want to teach about today, before I talk about the prayer duties of the saints. What did I call the title? Yeah, intercessory duties, yes. Yeah. I need to say this, okay? Very, very important. Just like God rewards prayer. You know something God said once to Ezekiel? You can go and we won't open to it. Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, there's a principle there. He told Ezekiel, if a righteous, if a wicked man is committing his wickedness, and I send you to go and warn him, and you don't, and then he perishes in his wickedness, what does he say? I will require his blood off your hands. He said, but if you correct, warned him, and he does not repent, what does he have will happen? And then, there's one word I'm looking for. He said, and you will have delivered yourself. That's the expression I'm looking for. He said, you will have done what?
Delivered
yourself. Which means you are in bondage if you don't want him. Do you get what I'm saying? You are in trouble if you... He said, you will have delivered yourself. He said, if a righteous man stops doing righteousness, he starts doing what is wicked, and I tell you to, I'm going to destroy him, I tell you to go and warn him. If you warn him and he listens, you will have delivered, if you don't warn him and he's destroyed, you are in trouble. But if you warn him and he doesn't listen, he said, you would have delivered yourself. Now, there's a principle there, therefore. Have you heard this before? He said, pray for the leaders. He didn't say which prayer we'll pray. Let me just tell you now. All right, if you are listening to me, God says, when I start judging concerning the iniquity done in this land, those who did not pray will be surprised they had not delivered themselves. You hear what I said? Those who spent all the time criticizing and grumbling and complaining, and one of the commandments I gave was that they should pray. I will require of them, I will hold them responsible, at least partly, for the iniquity that is in the land. You think what I said? So if bandits are killing people every day, blood is being shed, and it's a bad thing. And I see churches that all they do is rejoice and dance and everything, and then when they want to talk about the banditry matter, all they do is what? Accuse the government of doing nothing. And talk about how terrible APC is. All APC wants to do is turn Nigeria to a one-party state. And they see that every day. What did the Lord say? I will ask them, I will require of their hands some of that blood that was shed. Do you know it's possible you pray and pray, nothing happens? But what did he say? At least you will have delivered yourself. I see a lot of Christians, when we're talking sometimes, maybe I'm a place where people can talk anyhow and they won't respect what I say. There are a few places like that. And I see the Christians amongst them, I just shake my head. That you don't understand, you are throwing yourself into bondage. You are throwing yourself into judgment. At least pray so you will deliver yourself. And you know it's in scripture that refusal to pray is a sin. What did Samuel say? After Israel had finished smoking, you know what I mean by smoking? They had come to ask for a king. Samuel had given them a king. And they had told them how terrible what they were doing, or it was. He now said to them, God forbid that I should sin against him in stopping, in ceasing to pray for. No, that's, I think we should open that. A lot of people were imagining these things. But we're not imagining them. They're in the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Number one, intercessory duty brings forth a reward. Number two, negligence brings forth judgment. That's what I will establish first of all for today. There's something I need to explain, which is very critical. It's a trick of the devil. I'm going to talk about Satan a bit. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Are you there? We read on verse 23. Okay, let's just go down to verse 20 thereabout. Let me just take in a bit of context. Okay, let me start from 19. Then, okay, there was a sign, all right, before that. So, in verse 19, then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn, that you can remedy a large part of it by not turning aside from following the Lord. He said, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you will go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. Verse 22, for the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Did you notice that? He said in verse 23, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you. That is, if he ended his prayers for the people, if he stopped praying for them, it would have been a sin against God that Samuel would have been committing. How many of us are committing sin right now by not praying for this our nation? Many of us are. Now let me tell you, in fact, now that's, I finished the first part of my message. Let me now talk about the thing I really want, the second part that I said I must say today. Many of us go to church, at least if you come to Kingdom Word Ministries here, where on Tuesdays like this, it's our school of prayer, we always spend the first 30 to 40 minutes praying. And almost every time, at least 3 times out of 4, we take good time to pray for the nation. And somebody is present and is talking when they are talking and is saying amen when somebody is praying. Do you know it's possible for you to be present and your heart is not there? Are you aware of that? Yes, it's very, very possible. Such persons, you know, they are still in the category of those who are not praying. If on your own, you never raise up the matter of the church, of the nation to God in prayer, and anytime you have to talk amongst, especially amongst those who are not believing. Now, let me say this very important. When you talk amongst those who are not praying with you, it tells where your heart really is. A few weeks ago, I went to have a meeting with some people. Not a spiritual matter, just, academic issues and all of that. And one woman was a senior person to me, though. She kept on talking. Hey, this country is finished. You know what I kept on saying? Because I'm older and I'm wiser than I used to be. Before, when I was younger, with people like that, I'll just keep quiet. I won't say anything. But now, because I'm wiser, I have a way of answering senior people. This country is finished. I said, don't worry, we will restart it. It's finished. What are we going to do? Restart it. He said, you see, our leaders, our fathers, they've sold this country. I said, not a problem. We will buy it back. He said, there's nothing for anybody in this country again. He said, don't worry, man. We'll create something for people. And it's like a joke. She will say one, I will laugh and say, don't worry. This is how it will be. I kept on doing that. On the point, I said, you have hope. I said, that's what we live by. That's what we live by. Because she noticed my pattern of answering. And she will laugh. She said, if we have hope, better leave this country. I said, and go where now? We are on posting. God sent us somewhere. We have to stay where he kept us. And please, you must bear that in mind. As a Christian, you're on posting. No? A place is rough. It's not the reason why a soldier will locate. Did you get my point? You tell the soldier, stay here. See, you know, I give this illustration all the time. If you are driving, because of the security issues we've had in this country for years now, we see a lot of military and police presence on our highways when you are traveling. If you ever see a checkpoint disappear when it starts raining, it's a fake checkpoint. You know that? That's how you know them now. Because remember, they come to play fast business on the road. Mount a checkpoint that nobody sent them. Check those ones. As soon as it starts raining, they close and they go. There are two types you will know. Some military, some mobile policemen that are in strategic places. You know, there are times I've reached such places and you want to beg them, can I give you an umbrella? The rain is pouring heavily. You're inside your car. The glass is up. Your car is good. It's air conditioned, so no mist on your glass, everything. You get there, you have to wind up for the guy to look and check what he has to check. And it's inside the pouring rain. They have this formation they have sometimes. That formation is not disorganized. One guy is down there watching the whole thing. Another guy is up there. One guy is checking the cars. He will let you through the barricade. And it's as if it's not raining. He doesn't even remove his boots. He doesn't. He doesn't remove the uniform. If you see them use a raincoat, it's the official one. You don't go and buy him a yellow raincoat, you now put it on top of his camouflage. He's not no way. If he has official raincoat, but he's not living that point too. You know why? He was posted there. If a commanding officer comes and decides that there's no need, he can say, okay, everybody, go and take cover. Then he'll go. But until he hears that, he obeys the last order and he mounts his post. We are the ones that like to be transferred when the offering is not good. I'm being honest with you. There are people that lobby for transfer because where they are right now, what they call prophet's offering is not good. Look, one man of God, let me not even give you details. After service on Sunday, Oh God, if they give him offering for 3 Sundays, he can buy a car with it. I'm not kidding. This, shake your hand. God bless you, sir. It's been a good meeting today. I know churches where they transfer people. Some of you that don't like Nigeria, there are churches that if they transfer their people to Europe, they resign and come back to Lagos. Yeah, because offering in Lagos can be good. You now move somebody to a place where even the one you collect on the premise, they say you should file it for tax returns. I mean, come back to Lagos where nobody check all those kind of things. People ask for relocation when the offering is not good. Bear it in mind, you're on post. See, some of these decisions are easy to make if you know why you are doing what you are doing. If God posted you somewhere, you must stay there. Do you follow my point? If God posted you somewhere, look, the will of God is good, but does not always look good. Let me say it one more time. The will of God is good, but it does not always look good. Promotion that God promotes people is not measured by human standards. Did you hear what I said? God can promote you physically to look like a demotion. Please don't ever forget that. Somebody needs to hear this because many times we get into this habit of thinking that if God is blessing me, it's up, up, up. And what do you call up, up? It's money, it's comfort, it's physical things around us. It is not always so. Are you getting my point? All right, bear that in mind. It's so important we understand that. Let me go back to something I was saying. Many people, and I told you I want to talk about the trick, right? I want to talk about the trick. Now, listen, I thought about it. Let me tell you something about my life, all right? I'm a married man.
You know.
I've been married for 25 and a half years, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I did try. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's little by little. In if I multiply it by 4, it'll be 100 years. So, Father God, to you be the glory. To the best of my knowledge, God has helped me. I've always been careful not to refuse. That is, let me get my tenses right. Okay, to not allow Satan make offenses, make me refuse to pray for my wife. Let me tell you about Satan. Satan. Now I'm going to talk about Satan, right?
Yes.
Satan is powerless. Okay, let me use the proper word. The devil is powerless where the child of God is. He cannot take you out of the garden except he persuades you to walk out by yourself. He can't throw you out. You know, I see a lot of doctrine people preach these days. I said, we talk as if this universe has two gods. One is good, one is bad, and the two of them are struggling. Now, the bad one has a way of sneaking around the good one. So sometimes the children of the good one will stay in one place. The bad one will go and bite them. And they do not run to their father for healing. And their father says, why did you do that? When did he bite you? Satan, devil is very wicked though. Say, let me get it clear out to people who don't understand it. That is not true. They don't have two gods on this earth. There's one God. In this universe, there's one God. Satan cannot sneak up on him. Now, let's do what I want to say clearly. In your life, on this our earth, the devil cannot disobey the Lord. The devil cannot do what God did not give him the permission to do. I've seen people who teach faith say, that's a heresy. I don't know where you got your heresy for, how you spell it. But in my Bible, I'm quoting for you. What powers does the devil have? Give it to me. Number one, temptation. All right? Of course, deception is part of temptation. Then accusation. All right? Now, let's stick on temptation for a moment. All right? Of course, the power of death can be issued to him depending on what's going on. All right? Now, let's stick on temptation for a moment. You know what God said about temptation? Paul was talking about it. He said, God would not, finish for me, allow you to be what? Tempted more than you are able to bear. That is, temptation again is even permitted stage by stage. The devil cannot tempt you more than God said he should. So you think God, the devil took Satan, God by surprise in the garden? No. The devil could not tempt Judas except God said, go that far. That's one. Let's look at the life of Job again. God said, as you consider my servant Job, what did Satan say? Risky. We saw the hedge around him. He now said, let's make a long story short. Now, go and tempt him. I will remove the hedge. You know the story. He said, but don't touch him. Satan could not touch him. Let me explain something about the word of God. Satan cannot go against it. If God says, thus far and no further, he doesn't have to monitor Satan. Satan doesn't have the capacity to do otherwise. It's not that he put two angels in charge. No. He said to Satan, what? You can touch him. Because you can touch his goods, but you can't touch him. And all his money went away. All his children went away. All in one day. And nothing happened to Job. And Job worshipped. And said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, Satan came back to God and said, hey, it's because he's still healthy. God said, go and seek him. Did you hear what I said? Go and seek him. Go and make him sick. He now said, but don't kill him. Now, it wasn't a word of advice. Not, please do me a favor. You know, you go try. Make the guy not to die. No. Don't kill him means you cannot kill him. See, no matter the sickness he afflicted Job with, it was not unto death. Do you follow my point? Now, you know, when I see the fixation we have on the devil, I wonder who's teaching us. We are too fixated on devil. This devil, I'm being honest with you, God is my witness. He hardly comes into my mouth, in my house, asks my children. We don't pray about him at all. We don't remember him in prayer. Whatever that means. In my house, what do? We declare the glory of God from the scriptures, the number of scriptures we use, okay? We do that. We give thanks. Then we lift up the name of the Lord. You know, these are the things. The devil, mentioning Satan and devil. I think we can go for 3 months and not remember to do it one time. Unless the scripture we are reading brings the matter up. But in the prayer, no, it doesn't come up. Please, we must understand this thing I'm saying. So, I see the obsession with the devil when people are praying is too much. It is not, Satan is not somebody who tell, I cast you out. He's not going out if he has something he's holding on to. And if he has nothing he's holding on to, and you hold on to faith, he said, you, how do you resist the devil? Finish for me. Steadfast in your faith. Once you are steadfast in faith, he runs. Satan, Job did not know there was a devil. He wasn't aware. All that temptation he went through, he didn't know there was one Satan involved. I'm emphasizing this, that Satan knows this. You know what he does? He tricks us. He tempts us. He wants Eve and Adam. I need to get you guys out of the garden. He could not throw them out. What's the only thing he could do? Tempt them to sin against their God so that their God will throw them out. It was not the devil that threw them out of the garden. It was God himself. The devil cannot throw you out of your inheritance. Please, I'm preaching to Christians. So for those of you who are worshiping Olumba Olumba, look, I don't know. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to believers in Christ. So don't interpret anything. Even though what I'm saying covers many things you are going through, but what I'm saying, I'm trying to instruct the people of God. Are you getting my point? Now, back to what I'm going to say. All of that is just a general principle to remind us of something that we should know already. Intercessory prayer is powerful. Let's take Nigeria as an example. Let me just get into the issue of Nigeria. Now, please believe what I want to say, at least for the purpose of argument, all right? Even though I believe what I'm saying 100%. The nation was deliberately created by God for a reason. Don't believe that nonsense story that the people did not come together to plan. That's not how nations are created. God creates nations. Are you getting my point? He does. It's his job, all right? He's a governor amongst the nations. So let's just stop there. Let us just, believe me, just for a moment, just take it like that, that God has a purpose for it. I've already established that the purpose of God will require you and me. And in the context of what we're preaching today, is in the area of what? Prayer, all right? In the area of intercession, making supplications, for the purpose of God to be established. Now, you know what Satan does? Now, get where I'm going. If all of us, now let us assume this was possible, dear Father, for the number of Christians we have in Nigeria today, if all of us could agree for just 1 month on the same things, and then we prayed on those things for 1 month, and worked according to what we asked the Lord for a month, you'll be amazed at what will happen. Look, it can happen that so-called bandits will disappear overnight. You wonder whether they ever existed or they were just figments of journalists' imaginations. Do you follow my point? So many things will happen. You will wonder, did the opposite ever happen? Based on just one thing, agreement. Let me go back to this thing. Last election, how many years ago was that now? We're in 2025. Last election was 2 years ago. That, for me, was a sign of the state of the church. Some of my most serious disciples who love me with all their hearts, at least as much as I know, some come and say, Pastor Banky, let's be honest too. On that one, we didn't follow you. And at the end of the day, I told them that all of them are going to be wrong. They will regret it. And they did. I mean, at the end of the day, I think people are recovering now. Because if all the people they were supporting have now come to APC. So they are now recovering. I told them that that's what happened. I said, look, all of you, see, don't. Can you imagine Atiku's running mate is not in the APC? The number one opposition party was PDP. Whether you like it or not, that was what number one opposition party. The running mate is now in APC. I've been having my good laugh for a while. I wrote the book that time to correct Christians. And what was the title of the book? Let us agree. I tried to explain. You see, politics is very divisive. It can divide husband and wife. Politics. Two people be in the same house. Father and children who agree normally on politics, they almost come to, look, the man says, I'm not paying your school fees again because you are voting for a Labour Party, somebody is voting for a PDP or APC. Politics is that bad. So I told Christians, I said, please, brethren, there's a way to survive in the midst of politics. What is the simple way? It's simple. Go for the principles and agree on the principle. For example, it was not possible, obviously, for us to agree on who we want our next president to be. Because Yemi Osinbajo, who was one of our favorite politicians as Christians in Nigeria, was in APC. He lost the primaries in APC, but he was in APC. Pastor Tunde Bakare, our Egbon prophet, was a member of APC. He actually took nomination forms. NNPP, their running mate is a sitting bishop. Yeah, he's still a bishop. I said, so? He said, no, all of you vote for Labour Party. I said, those people in APC are Christians too. I hope you know that. Those ones in PDP, Christians too. The NNPP running mate is a bishop. He's one of us. It was not possible. Prophets went online. This is what God is saying. I said, oh God, stop lying. God didn't, you know me, those who know me, I said, this man is not telling the truth. God didn't say that to him. He prophesied wrongly. He's not trying to make his prophecy come to pass. Pastor Bang, did God tell you who was going to win? No, he never does. I've never, look. I never get it right. I think it's only once I voted for the person who won. One of those good, the first Goodluck Jonathan, I voted for him. He won. The second Goodluck Jonathan, I voted for him. He lost. I hardly get it right. Hardly. I know why I didn't get it right. I used to have my own desires, which is to oppose what God has chosen. So if I wanted to reveal, I will reject it in my heart. Remember, is it Apostle Kure, who said that he loves Peter Obi, but God said he should vote for Atiku. How many people watched that? When they say, I love it, the whole church erupted. Woo! He said, but God said that she vote for Abubakar Atiku. The whole church went quiet. He said, I must do as the Lord said to me. And the Lord was enjoying the whole drama. The Lord said, who do you love? Peter Obi. Okay, now, my son, that shall vote for Atiku. But I will make Bola Tinubu win. So let us be here, play with ourselves. So I told people that time, I said, listen, let us agree. It's very easy to agree. Very, very easy. First, drop the personalities. Agree on principles. Say, Lord, give us the best leader that you can. Now, what we call best leader, he will defend truth. He will promote justice. It's somebody who through him, you understand, you can establish such and such in this nation. Lord, have mercy. The time of wrath should be over. We are begging you. After that, everybody go to your party, go and campaign any way you like. Don't shoot anybody. It'll be nice. And then they will vote and somebody wins. Satan would not have liked that. So Satan joined political parties and made us carry campaign to the pulpit. It was Satan. Look, it was Satan. You see all those bishops and pastors that will be telling you how to vote, who to vote for. It was Satan. It was Satan. You know why? By doing that, they effectively continue the division inside the church. There's a big pastor, I won't mention his name, even though you can all guess who it is. I said, if a member of APC was in church, in his church, all right, he will leave. It was not possible. This is a big pastor in Nigeria, I'm not mentioning him, but I mentioned Tunde Bakare earlier. Nothing bad I said about him. Which meant that Tunde Bakare could not come to his church to preach, even if God spoke to him. Why? He called APC that demonic, devilish party. He said it on the pulpit in church. I'm not saying they are righteous, angelic. I'm just saying he said it on the pulpit. And Tunde Bakare was a member of APC. Yemi Osinbajo was a member of APC. If those two had come to his church, they would not have been welcome. They would not have felt comfortable. Did I say everybody should join APC or Labour Party? No, I did not say so. I said, just drop the division. Let's come together and say, brethren, what can we agree on? All these men are but what? Flesh. They are not, they are grass. They are donkeys that God can ride. Let us ask the Lord, the governor among the nations, to do his own will. That's very easy for us to do, if we'll agree. Now, this is where I'm going. Satan loves the division. He loves the division. So by the time election came, the average Christian was not praying a prayer that God would answer. Yeah. Prophets went online and told us who to vote for. So we prayed that somebody will win, and God said he will not. Do you follow my point? I didn't know if the world was there standing in heaven. Cacophony. If God had to listen to all of us, we just, no, just noise, noise, left, right, and center. No order. Noise, noise, noise everywhere. And I kept on shouting. Even my most ardent disciples said, this one, pastor, we are not with you. No, all I said was, brethren, let us agree. See, be honest with you, just because I didn't join the bandwagon, they said he's secretly following this person. If you talk like that, I don't have words for you. You're so deaf and hard of heart that my plea to you, to let me and you come together, to agree, God, you are the governor among the nations. I don't understand political talk. Because I saw Christians being manipulated. At the end of the day, you know what happened? Once things didn't go the way some people went, they decided that Nigeria was not worth praying for. That's where I'm going with the whole talk. And I can say this to you, what this country suffers the most, I'm saying with boldness, with confidence, rejection by the saints. That's what this country suffers the most. The saints have rejected the nation. I'm talking about the trick of the enemy. Enemy knows that if all of us can come together and do something, in prayer, I don't mean clear road and invest money. No, that's not what I mean. In prayer, if we can come together. So, you know what he does? He gives us reasons every day to reject the nation. The other day I heard Olumide Emmanuel was speaking about his first marriage crisis and how having his children in America burnt him. Do you understand? I mean, he said it was on YouTube, so I'm not saying anything secret. He told the whole world. He had not seen children for 13 years. I can't remember. Yes, 13 years, right? Thereabout. He said, now if I see my daughter on the road, I won't recognize her. He had two children. And he explained what happened. Now, this was, it's not the marriage issue that I want to talk about. It's why he got there. He said he worked with big men, big ministers. They're having programs there in the car he's driving as a young man. And all of them will say, I can't have my children in this country. Do you hear what I said? So they will preach in Nigeria, preach in Lagos, preach in Abuja, preach in, and they were, you know, going around like our prophets, our apostles, and they were saying behind, there is nothing, this country cannot hold my children. Meanwhile, Pa Elton came, took the only daughter he had, and the wife he had, and kept them in Nigeria, and they died in Nigeria. He died in Nigeria. His wife died in Nigeria. The daughter, she died now? She's still alive. Yeah. The daughter is still in Nigeria as an old woman. How old is she now? She's very old. Is that 90 something? Yeah, 80 something. Getting to 90. Did you hear that? Meanwhile, the people born here, they say what? Ah, I can't have my children in this place. That's why, see, the problem Nigeria has is the people don't love her. Take my word for it. See, it's a prophet. Yes, it's a prophetic word of God. Prophetic, that is, God is putting his finger on the problem. They don't love her. If they love her, I will do mighty things for her. That's what the Lord is saying. If they loved her, I would do mighty things for her. Oh no, why can't people pray? That's what, you know, I was talking about my wife, right? See, there are people who say that they and their wife, they married for 20 years, they've never had problems. I thank God for their lives, so I would love to say that, except that it's not true. And I don't like to lie to you. I won't tell you how recent this happened. One night, my wife woke me up. He said, Pastor, wake up. So I said, but I'm sleeping. He said, yeah, wake up. I need to say this to you. He said, you don't love me at all. I almost burst into laughter. I said, I don't love you at all. In my mind, are you okay? How can you do like this? How can you do this? You know what happened? Let me just tell you. Eh? The fan was blowing cold air in my face. So I covered my face before. So she removed the cover. She said, you don't need to hear what I'm saying. I said, no, now it's cold now. So I covered my face back because I wanted to laugh. So later on, I said, so here, did the bad mosquito bite you? Because I don't know where this is coming from. I said, what was that? I said, did you dream something that I don't understand? Because it was night, I was sleeping. Those who have never had problems, they tell me, they try. Can you imagine old man like me having this kind of problem? It was something I did day before. I did something there. Which I did not think was a serious matter. I just, is that how we got to this place? How can a man of God not love his wife? I told my wife, I said, I almost laughed when you were talking. Oh, you wanted to laugh? I said, you were being funny now. He said, the thing you did, you didn't repay me. Okay, I'm not going to make it. Those of you that have never had problems, God bless you. Don't look at your wife. She has done worse to you. She has woken you up at 3 a.m. The Lord is good. Now, you know what I'm saying is, all these years, in fact, those days, my wife used to do something once in a while. She likes to move, you know, like, okay, you want to do something, okay, let me go to nature. And I used to wonder, why are you giving yourself this kind of stress? So sometimes, you know, if you talk too much until, you know, God, even God can get, okay, go now. Do you know that? If God can do that, how much more? Or how much more a human being like me? So before you get to the place where God will say, go now, me, I will have said, go now. If my wife travels without my heart there, I never, God helping me, I never forget. I pray for her. One day she traveled like that. I asked a question. She was about to leave. She just drove away. If I keep listening to you, I won't go. And so I'm still talking. Now you have moved. He said, I know what you want to do. You want to talk until I can't go again. I said, okay, go. Bye bye. Then she reached night, my police arrest her and the driver. So after plenty talk, they said one paper was not correct. This one happened, this one. So after a while, they settled with the checkpoint. He wanted to now go. Just to the guy driving. Turn, turn, turn. I said, man, just turn, just turn. Because she knew that this prophet in the house has been calling fire down. But where I'm going is that God helped me. Oh, Father God, I give you praise. I never forget. No matter how unhappy I am, if you do something, I will pray. I will remind the Lord that I love my wife. And no matter what it is, you should please take good care of her and make sure nothing bad happens to her. Yeah. You know why I'm saying, why I'm teaching us this? Offense is one of Satan's greatest weapons to stop intercession. So you have to see, if something is important, just close your eyes away from offenses. See, they used it against Moses. He kept on praying for them. I mean, why the same God that understands they are offending you is the one that says, you will sin against me if you stop praying for them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You will sin against me if you stop praying. There's some picture I saw long ago, they were defining, just trying to explain what real love is. An old man and an old woman, obviously they were married, a couple. Obviously somebody has offended the other, I don't know which one of them. So they were not talking. So they were sitting on the back park bench. One faced this way, the other faced this way. And it started raining. And the man had the umbrella. So he stretched the umbrella, covered his wife, and did not talk to her. Do you get the gist? They said, that is love. He was angry, he wasn't talking, but when he saw the rain come, he took the umbrella and covered his wife. I'm sorry to say, you know what the Bible says? Love your wife, how? Let me tell you what, love is action. Some of these books that they write for us, is they want to tell us how emotions work. No, that was love. Not talking to her is not good though, but that's not important now. The important is that there's crisis and he has covered her. Are you getting my point? You know, sometimes we see Nigerian Christians talk about Nigeria. My father, the bitterness. The bitterness. Even preachers will mount the pulpit. And you see, my father. There was a time I felt like telling one particular man of God. I said, you don't want God to shut you up because he will if you continue like this. Bitterness. People are bitter. And I'm explaining to you, it's a satanic strategy. That's why I talked about my wife and I, you understand? Like I said, look, if of course she must have had cause to be angry with me over the years. I mean, I told you the one that happened not too long ago. Let me not start laughing again. And I must have had cause again and again. But God has helped me. I told you one thing that happened one day now. This was long ago. Can't remember what happened, all right? I have no idea. The only thing I know that just happened was that I was very upset. I don't know what my wife did or said. I was just so upset that day. And you know, you don't upset a man of God at 4 o'clock when he's supposed to preach at 5. Are you getting my point? Is it good? When should you upset him? The day before or after the message. So if your husband is a man of God, you wait, you carry the thing with the upset and hold on. The after you finish preaching, then now do it. Ministry is not in jeopardy. So that particular day, I can't remember exactly what happened. It was around 5 o'clock. It was around 4. So I was so, my mind was just upset. So I picked my phone. I said, I'm not going to preach today. So I picked my phone to call Okemite, that's Pastor Okemite. That please prepare a message. Please, you preach this evening. I wasn't going to tell him why. I just said, look, I will not be able to come for Bible study. The phone was in my hand. And it was already like 4:30. No, I normally get it around 4:30. So around 4, yes. It was already around 4 o'clock. So I picked the phone, it was in my hand. I was about to dial him. There's a thought dropped in my mind. I looked back, it was the Holy Spirit. So, you see, when the Lord gets to Kingdom World Ministries at 5 and doesn't find you there, or he comes to your house by 5 and he says, what are you doing here? You know, he asks that question a lot. He asks it to ask of Elijah. He said, what are you doing here? So he will come to my house at 5 o'clock and say, what are you doing here? It was the answer that scared me. Because the only one thing I could tell him, which was what? My wife upset me and I can't preach, so I've stayed back to cool myself down. Brethren, I rushed to get dressed, entered my car, and ran down. Why? I said, let it not go on record that I put it down and told God, this girl is why I'm not fulfilling your ministry. Yeah. You don't understand? I got scared. I literally was scared. No, this is the funny part. Maybe you bear in mind. I wasn't scared for myself. Even though I see, God has two kings. The left one for the wife. The right one is for them. Do you follow my point? So, don't just assume, say, God be... You know, God, he wrote that, who is the weaker one? So who do you think they use the smaller cane for? The thicker cane. That one that when they hit your bone, do boom. Basho. Original one. You get chua. No, you wonder, am I dead or am I alive? I'm not very sure. You see, I felt the pain. I'm still be like that kind of one. So I knew that the one for the man is there. I didn't have any doubt. But that didn't worry me. What just came to my mind is that, Banky, you now become what? An accuser of your wife. I said, no, Lord, I'm going to preach. And by the way, because I'm anointed, you know what I mean to be anointed? It's grace that helps you to preach. That's what I mean by anointed. And when I got there, I forgot all this thing. I was, and then, of course, When my wife sees me preaching, she says, ah, am I angry with this man of God? No, I'm not angry with him. He's too handsome. He's anointing. He's anointing. I've told all of you young ladies, don't marry a pastor. He's not good. I mean, like, if you a man you are listening to, come and say, come and marry him. Go away from the church for like 6 months because he's using anointing to bamboozle you. But every time he's talking, you'll be seeing grace, grace. You want to marry grace. You don't know that normal human being you go marry. The Lord is good. Please, this is what I'm saying. Offense. What did I say? Is, in my opinion, one of the major killers of intercession. Offense. If say, let me tell you something. Satan, no, I spoke a lot about Satan. He doesn't have the kind of power people ascribe to him. He doesn't have it. What he does is what? Tricks. Tricks. He will look. My illustration I use a lot of times. If you're a parent, listen to this. Especially mothers. Maintain your intercession for your children. Maintain it. No matter how much they offend you. You get my point? Maintain. Not only mothers. Because I know mothers usually are more passionate. That's why I say mothers. But both fathers and mothers. Maintain your intercession for your children. As we go on, I'm going to explain the duties. Number one, I'll mention about our nation. The leaders thereof. Alright, that's one. I'll talk about the church. Alright, both local and general. I want to talk about your place of work or school if you're a student. The place where you belong, where, the place of business, whether you're a student or you're a worker, then I will talk about family. It's very important. Look, there are few people, family and friends, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, those are places where God depends on you to keep somebody alive. God depends on you, that you working with him, to prevent somebody from dying in sin. Are you getting my point? And one reason why you will stop praying for them is offense. So when Satan wants to kill somebody, he will scan around, say, nah, who they pray for this guy? He says, his mother. Ah! I gotta stop that. I have to kill this guy. How do we kill him? His mother's intercession will never allow us. And let me tell you something. Please, let's talk about this intercession thing again. Sometimes we Pentecostals have turned intercession to a mystical thing that's meant only for certain select people that know how to. Sometimes I hear people talk about, there's a class of priesthood. There's no every Christian is a priest. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Every one of us, we are. See, if your mother says, a Christian mother says concerning her son, dear Lord, please have mercy on my son. See, you pastors can all gather 8 of you. And grow money till night is not as powerful as that. You know why? If that guy died, it doesn't concern all of you. Are you getting my point? If he dies, that woman will mourn for the next 12 months. 12 months she's mourning. Now listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Especially if she's old and is middle-aged, she will carry that into her grave. You give her the news, she dies in the next few months. Are you getting my point? So, all you pastors are journeying and saying, it is not as effective as that. See, God weighs these things. If that woman kneels down and says, Heavenly Father, please, I'm begging you, have mercy on Chike. He will have a ghastly motor accident, the car will be written up, he will come out, shake his clothes, and walk home. Yeah. And Satan knows. Even if he did not know before, he heard us preach it. So you know what he does? He has to cut that mother's intercession off. There are a number of parents I have in this life. Number one is false prophets. I'm like God towards them. My soul despises them. I wish you would just fall down and die. I just wish they would just somersault and scatter. I wish they would just tumble and disappear. It's night. I wish they wouldn't get up tomorrow morning. Because I've not seen anybody do evil amongst them. Go and read the scriptures. What God used to hate, what God used to complain about Israel was the sin of her prophets and her priests in her midst. So what does prophets do? Satan, he knows what to do. He goes to meet one of them. That's Satan inside one of them. And the chicken himself will now go and be going to useless church. The pastor will now bring a useless prophet. You will now see a vision incited by Satan that tells him his mother is a witch. Now, let me go over there again. I know you have heard it 50 times, but that's your problem. You will hear it one more time. If you don't want to hear it, close your ear and go home. But I will say it. Okay, I won't say it that one. Let me say it on that one. But I will say it. Listen to me if you're a Christian. In your life, I know some people want to argue, but I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. If you're a Christian, in your life, witches don't exist. That's what I need to say. I was going to say many other things. No, but I don't need it. Just mark what I have said. Do witches exist? Not in your life. Maybe they exist amongst people who don't know Christ. I don't know. Maybe. But in your life, they do not exist. They are as empty as a vacuum. God does not put them into consideration when he's deciding things. So if anybody, anywhere, tells you your problem is a witch, tell the person, Banky said I should tell you, you lie. Just quote me, not quote it. Daga? Do you know Pastor Banky? No, I don't know him. Okay. Go to pastor.ng, you will find him there. He said I should tell you. He told me ahead of people like you. He said you lie. The ignorance is your portion. Daga, tell me something else. I don't say I get a problem. But Pastor Banky said that's not one of it. I said, look. By the way, first, my mother is not a witch. Because I noticed that she gave birth to me, she didn't eat me. She breastfed me, she did not poison me. Now that I'm giving her money, it's not a witchcraft will now flare up. Which kind of idiot of a prophet are you? Let's leave that. So let's consider my auntie, who did not breastfeed me. No, tell the prophet, let's consider my auntie. Now, tell the prophet, just watch me. Stay here. Don't go. Bring her. Say, which of my aunties do you want? Is it my mother's immediate elder sister or the younger or my, you know, which one? Or my father's sister? Prophet, pick one. Say, which one is fair? Okay, the fair one. All you yellow people. All you, which. Thank God we are dark skinned. There are no witches. It's only the men. The dark men are wizards. The fair women are witches. That's how it goes. So now pick down and say, Prophet, just stay here. Just call her. Auntie, it's me, Chike. Hey, how are you? Remind me of your account number again. I just remember this afternoon, Auntie. Say, Prophet, be watching now. She sends it. Ping him. Just ping. Why her 20K? Hey, say, Prophet, just watch you. Put it on that speaker. Hey, Chike, God bless you. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? She's not a witch. Because even if she was, once she said, God bless you, God has removed her wings, her teeth, all the poison inside her has gone. Say, Prophet, find another thing to tell me. I'm telling you, see, this is how you handle these people. Please, let me say it again. Those prophets are looking for food. It's food they are looking for. They are not trying to help you. It's food. That's how they eat. Just say, Prophet, it's not necessary. Tell me, Prophet, it's not necessary. What's going on? You need to repair your car? Hey, you should have just said so. You know, look. Okay, I've given my auntie some of the money. The one I have, like, we just take this one. All this 80K. Leave that thing. Can you pray now? Let God answer you. Stop talking nonsense in my ear. Let me tell you what he'll tell you. That's a bros. Easy now. You can't provoke. Yeah, bring the money. He will never reject that offering. Threaten him with an offering. He will not reject it. Say, Prophet, just leave this thing. Let me wire you money. I stop calling people witches. I know witches in my life. Pray another prayer, Joe. I only see the offering. ATK a lot. I prophesy that God shall come. I say, now you are doing the job of a prophet instead of looking for witches around. Nonsense. You know why I'm saying this? This is what Satan does. He goes to that guy. When he doesn't have the kind of sense that we have, we praise God for it. If you have that sense, say amen.
Amen.
You know there's no witch in your life. If you, your way pleases the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. You are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. You are. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know. But when that chicky does not know, you will not tell him that the money you give to witches is taken to the coven. That is the death of chicky being plotted. Because he foolishly will stop sending money to his mother. First month, she thinks he forgot. Second month, she thinks he forgot. She reminds him, he tells stories. But the third month, she's broke. She's in distress. Then she says to her friend, I don't know what I did to Chike. That's the beginning of accusation. Listen, go and read your Bible well. Time will not allow me to go through it. Eh? Be afraid when intercession turns to accusation. Go and see Jeremiah. He said, oh God, you know I was crying and begging for them. He said, now, let their wives be widows. Let their children be fatherless and motherless. Let them be hungry. Let them be victims. He began to reel it out. He said, let them have it. Why? I was praying for them. Look at how they are responding. When you turn prayers around. And let me tell you something. When wicked people, if you pray for wicked people and they refuse to receive the blessing in the prayer, it always turns to a bad thing for them. I'm telling you. See, if you come with a curse on people that are blessed, God turns it around and makes the blessing. If you come to it with a blessing and somebody rejects it, you know what God said? Get to that house. Say what? Peace be upon this home. He said, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest there. But if there's no man of peace, say, your peace will return to you. He said, when you leave a city, they don't receive you. He said, when you are leaving, take your shoes, shake the dust off. It will be more tolerable for that, for Sodom and Gomorrah, than that city that day. That's why we are not afraid to pray for people. You say, what if they are wicked? Don't worry, their wickedness will recalibrate the prayer. Let's continue with our chicken matter. When that woman stops praying, you know, the other day she prayed for him, he survived a ghastly motor accident. Did you get my point? When she stops praying and says, I don't know what I did to him, and she mistakenly says, only God will judge. Next time, he will jump a gutter, and his two legs will break. And they will wonder what happened. They will think a trailer ran over him. He only jumped over a gutter. The other time, he was in a ghastly motor accident. He survived. Why? It was the intercession. That's why, look, let's not talk about people who believe witches. Let's talk about those of us who are here. Don't withdraw your intercession from your beloved, no matter the offense that's thrown in your face. Don't. You're a wife, your husband carried all the money and went and spent it and wasted it. Don't. Just pray for him. Say, Father God, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. You're angry. He can come and you'll be winding your waist. It's okay. Wind the waist. Doesn't matter. But when it comes to prayer, what do you do? Keep pleading for. Don't let offense change what you're saying. Don't let offense. Your wife annoys you. I know you have been so angry. A prayer time will come. Say, Lord, you know, my wife really annoyed me, but I want to ask you for something. Have mercy upon her. End it with that. Lord, I pray for her that she walk in a manner worthy of you. Ha! Now, wow. She did me this kind of thing. But to please you, no respect. Don't let offense remove the words of intercession and turn you to an accuser. Do you follow my point? Don't let offense remove the words of intercession and turn you to an accuser. You see, back to our nation. I want to drop that quickly. You know the problem Nigeria has? Rejection by the church. Oh, they reject the nation. I talk to people sometimes, just didn't strategize their life. You know, they gave up long ago. Many people are praying who don't have an ounce of faith. You know, God told Jeremiah, all right, to prophesy evil upon Judah. They were going to captivity and all of that. Of course, Jeremiah didn't like the whole thing. He had to do his work. God now told Jeremiah, you know what he said? He said, this place will be desolate, but afterwards, they will buy, they will sell here. Houses will be built here. Vineyards will be here. He said, Jeremiah, you know what you do? Go and buy a plot of land. Take the title deed and bury it. Because if he said, "Thus says the Lord," that was a sign that he believed what he was saying.
Yes,
are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It was a sign. It was a sign. Went to Port Harcourt some years ago. One of our sisters said she wanted to. She called me beforehand. I said, "Don't worry, we'll come. We'll talk." What's the issue? That the crisis in Port Harcourt is too much. That she has money. She wants to invest in her business. And the way he sounded, she didn't tell me the exact amount, but I knew it was heavy. It definitely wasn't, okay, using today's Naira, it wasn't 10 million or 20 million or 30 million. In today's Naira, I don't think it was maybe 100 million. The way it sounded like big money. So when she saw the crisis and everything, she said, "Is it worth it?" So what's the other plan? She was thinking of just packing up her things and moving over to the UK. So what do you have to say? I said, "My sister, put the money there." Said, "Buy the land, build it, fence it, do everything you have to do." I said, "You know what you are doing? You are buying your right to pray. If you take that money and you run over to UK, just forget praying." I'm not saying that you go to heaven, we'll meet in heaven and discuss how UK was. Are you getting my point? I said, "But forget praying. Don't, when they say we are praying for the city, don't go to the church. It's not necessary. Your prayer is ineffective." I said, "But am I promising you won't lose the money?" I said, "No." "Ah, who said you won't lose the money? My money gets lost. And you wouldn't be the first. People lose money every day." I said, "I'm not saying you won't lose the money. But at least I can guarantee you one thing. When it's time to pray and you put your knee down, heaven will answer. As whether the investment will work, I don't even know the kind of investment." She didn't even give me details. I didn't know the kind of investment. I said, "But put that money down and buy your right to pray." I hope you're getting my point. We have a duty, believers. I want to remind us of that duty again in the next few series of teachings on this line. There is no country if you don't pray for it. You will be judged. You'll be surprised. The day of judgment, when they say the government in Nigeria was bad, let's start judging the government officials. Let's start the priests and prophets first. Why? They did not pray. He said, "How do you expect Bola Tinubu to do well when you, a child of God, is withholding wisdom from him?" Did you not say, you could quote it when you needed money now. "Whatever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we shall lose on earth." When did you lose wisdom sincerely upon the man? When? When did you pray persistently? You started praying for a wife, 2022. 2025, I've not given you, I've not stopped. You still wake up in the morning, "Kabolato, Eve, our Father God, it is written, Adam went to sleep. Right now, I go to sleep. You are using all kinds of spiritual methods. Now they use all kinds of methods to just wake this Eve up, Shah. Say, "Father, I'm about to wake up right now." When Adam woke up, standing in front of him, and you wake up, now the guy with the said grandma say, "Hello, I want to..." You go back. They say, "Lord, I don't think I'm awake yet." You have used all kinds of techniques to get a wife. 2 days like this, you pray for the country, and you say it's not working. There's what they call intercessors that will give him no rest. Until when? Until he establishes Jerusalem as a prince. It's not until they are tired. It's not until they're tired. Until that thing they're asking for is done. I feel the pressure of the Spirit to say it. That is a problem. God says, see, I count. I don't have enough yet. Because the moment I give them money, check what they do with it. They take their blessing and throw it to another place. Then they think they are taking their prayer and planting it here. No. Check where their prayer is. Check where their money is. See, if they are not in the same place, what is that? Double-mindedness. Let me tell you, anything you love, you sacrifice for. That is, we're having a discussion. They say, "No, you better keep the money in dollar." They say, it was an association thing. We had to. Me and my guy just said, "No, let's leave the money in naira. I said, we can't bet against the country we are praying for. Can you lose the money? Of course. I told you, money, loss, they go together. It's in the Bible. All flesh is what?
Grass.
So don't even try. See, don't try. The prayer I'm praying to God now, is to help me to spend money wisely. Yeah. Because I found out you can't pray to God to accumulate it. He doesn't believe in that nonsense. All flesh is grass. I said, well, if anybody's doing seminar on how to secure your money so that it will not go away, tell the person, you want me to come to your seminar where we'll say God is a liar? And one little guy saw me just now. He said, sir, I want to, we're having a seminar, whether you'll be able to attend. I said, on what? He said, or health matter. You know, these people, I don't know why they always target me. And I told him, I said, again, you know, like I told that guy, this one is a young man. I said, you've chosen the wrong person. He said, why, sir? I said, I'm a doctor. He said, no, these are health supplements. I said, they don't work. I said, they don't work. It's only those. It only works for those who are selling it. I told him. I told the young man. I said, it doesn't work. I said, this is don't work. It only works for those who are selling them. And I mean, you won't catch mogul. And I don't know, this boy, don't they look at my baseball, they talk? This guy, he'd be like the person who could proceed to greet Akinwunmi. He wants to advise me to come and give me health. And I'm warning of, if I see your leg where somebody is teaching about health and doesn't have certificate to show you, this is my training in a recognized university. This is a specialist training I had. If you let one secondary school boy sell you anything green, you have me to deal with that day. The Lord is good. What was I supposed to have about that joke? If you offense that I finished long ago. Yeah, I said, I said, there's nothing you love you don't sacrifice for. There's nothing. So I prayed the Lord. I said, look, if you say, keep your money in dollars, I said, let it go. If you give me money in dollar, you understand? I can't, like, that's the meeting we're having. Pastor Corey said, if it came in dollars, we leave it in dollars. If it came in naira, we are not exchanging it. We are raising money for something. You understand? Our association. All right? I said, no. I told him, I said, I cannot participate in betting against the country I'm praying for. Will you lose money? This losing money, it doesn't kill you. See, if you wake up in the morning, they say bank has collapsed on your money. Just leave them and go. Say, hey, all the money I kept there, okay. They took your money. Must they take your peace? You have to check it. They took your money. Should they take your peace with it? If they come, wake up one day, say, come and take your one day, that day. My wife woke up in the morning. They say one bank collapsed. I know, say my wife, when she used to do business, like I had banks in all kinds of places, or accounts in all kinds of banks. So I asked her, I said, do you have an account in this bank? She said, yes. You have money there? She said, no, I don't have money there. I said, okay, thank God. Then she gave me, I remember. I said, oh, you remember? You should get the other thing. Hey, that's why I kept the money. I said, oh, well, Leo. So what are you going to do? I don't know. They said, it was money plenty. No, I said, okay. They said, they'll give you back. After a long time, they said, go and submit your BVA. How many of you got your money back? There was one bank last year. Say, tall reverend God. Love it. Who else? You were scratching your face. Oh. What is this bank? What am I now going to do? No, who will I arrest? If they take your money, don't let them take your peace. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
If they take your money, don't let them take your peace. So, money can be lost. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
And God doesn't try to keep it. Let me tell you something about God. You have 200, maybe, okay, 20 millionaire. Father, Kaya Bala, those. He's looking at you like, what are you praying about? I don't want this money to go away. So you know what he does? He blows on it. Then everything disappears. He said, can we stop that prayer? You know, for him, he said, it's money. So don't get me involved in this foolishness. I don't like it. So if you harass him too much, he'll blow on the money to go away. So now find that prayer point. You know, one reason why he doesn't get involved in foolishness is because it's money. He can give you 10 times. He does like this. That 20 million you want to die for, it can make it 200 million. It does like this. It costs two birds. They bring 500 million. Just like that, it turns to nothing. So here, you can't see the difference. I don't know whether I get my point. You can't tell me now, please, Banky, help me, help. There's air in my hand. Please help me hold it. I don't want it to escape. You know, I'm going to wonder, are you okay? If the one in your hand escapes, people will just pack, will get nylon bag and do it like this, and air will come again. That's how God is when it comes to money. Let me tell you again, if you legitimately need money, ask him. He has plenty. See, you know, cars used to, the price of cars have kind of tripled over the last few years, right? That is the time you should increase the size of the one you are praying to God for. Don't downgrade, though. It's an insult, though. Do you get my point? Before, you wanted God to give you okay, let's use used car, 20, which year are we? 2025. I wanted him to give you maybe like 2018, you know, Camry, that kind of thing. The price now tripled. Go and pray, say, Lord, the price has gone up 3 times. So I said, maybe instead of 2018, just make it 2022. Somebody should dare what I'm saying. Just say, Lord, I was thinking 2018, but it's not so expensive. Let's just make it 2022. You know why? He has money. He doesn't go broke. The reason why he doesn't do things is because he can't find faith. People are coming to explain to him that things are rough. God say, Say, God, are you sure you can afford this one? God say, I'm not sure. Exactly. You don't mean it. See, things are rough. God say, You don't mean it. Say, God, how you guys doing? Are your angels, have they eaten? The Nigerian angels? No. Honest, that's how we treat the Lord. That's how we treat the Lord. He's just looking at us like, what's up with these children? What's up with these children? Don't revise down. What did I say? If you revise down, you are telling the Lord you plan to participate in the execution. Increase it. I know what I've told you now. Increase it. Say, it was 2018 before. You are believing God. The price tripled. Say, God, let's up it. So in effect, it has gone up tenfold. And I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Tell the Lord, I know you can afford it. And I don't say, please help my unbelief. I don't believe comes from anywhere, but I know you can afford it. And watch him do wonders in your life. And then drop that for somebody. Let's get back to our message and so I can conclude it. Listen, brethren, we have a duty. We'll be held responsible. The day of judgment, many of us will be expecting them to call a Nigerian president or senator or something. God said, I will call those of you who spent all your time in criticism, accusations, anger, hatred, and you did not spend it in intercession. You are the reason why there's a problem. And you're the reason why I did not solve the problem. You hear what I said? And I want us to bear that in mind. But if you do what you're supposed to do, God says there is a reward. There is a reward. There's a blessing. At least you will have what? Delivered yourself. And that's the message I have for us this evening. At least you will have delivered yourself. Let us save. Let me summarize this particular one. Let us spare this country from that hatred spirit. That spirit of rejection. That's what Nigeria is suffering. The spirit of rejection. That satanic method of having his ways. Satan, look, he's watching it and he's enjoying it as we throw away our inheritance. We throw away things that God has given us. There is nothing that God gives you on this earth he didn't say he should fight for. The promised land had giants. He refused to remove the giants. He could have removed them. He said, I won't remove it. I won't remove them. Why? Let them prove to me that they want it. What did I say? Yes. God said, let them prove that they want this land. Many boys are praying. You know why they are praying? For this nation. They don't have money yet. The day they have money, you will see that their heart rejected it long ago. And I brought the word of the Spirit that God says, I'm tired of that. And if I give anybody the commandment to reject, and he rejects, I'll hold the person accountable. Did you hear what I said? Interpret it the way you want as it applies to you. God says, I place you somewhere. I say, love the place. You know, when he sent them to Babylon, he had to caution them. Now listen, get it clear. Babylon was not their land. It was a land of exile. It was a land that the owners of Babylon were their captors. God said, love the land. He said, because you are going to be there for how many years? 70 years. He said, so He said, seek the peace of that land. What's the next thing he said? Entreat the Lord for his sake. That's when you are praying. Pray that God should bless the land. Because that's how I want to prosper you. I could rain prosperity from heaven. It wouldn't be the first time. I did it in the wilderness. But I don't want to do it. So if this land is going to be good for you, what do you do? Pray for it. He said, entreat the Lord for her sake. Pray for the land. Say, this land, be good, be good. I want good to come to you. Next time, God helping us, I'm watching my time. We'll go through scriptures on the kind of things you should pray for a land. Let me tell you something about news. They have a number of functions. Number one, they are designed to scare you. You get my point? You hear that some people were going on this road, this one happened. You don't want to go on that road again. But what is the God's command? You know, it's in the scriptures. You will hear. The Lord commanded that one, you will hear it. You will hear the evil that's happening. But where I'm going is this. The commandment for you is that when you hear, go and pray. It's a sign. It's not Satan. It's a sign of indignation. You know the word indignation? Judgment against the land. So anytime you see things like, what do? You start asking the Lord for mercy. And mercy is not just mercy, let evil continue. In the midst of mercy, you ask the Lord to judge evil, judge iniquity. Because you see, there are two levels of evil. There's evil that provokes the judgment. And there's evil that is executing the judgment. Do you get my point? Except you pray against the evil that provokes the judgment, you cannot cancel the one that's executing the judgment. One of our sisters told me something the other day. I won't mention where. He said, she lives in the area. He said when she saw the behavior of the people, suddenly she realized that maybe all this crisis we are talking about is God's judgment against this iniquity in this land. Many of us may not like it. A lot of our people, this land, they have soaked it with iniquity. And much of the crisis we are seeing is God's judgment against the iniquity that is soaked in this land 50 years ago. I'm telling you, some of these communities are fighting over land and killing themselves for nothing. God said, I will kill all of you. Foreigners will take that land. Yeah. Some people that feel they are strong, oppress their neighbors and take their land. God said, don't worry. Take it. They've killed half of the next village and the other one. They've taken the land and in their heart, we are warriors. Our ancestors are warriors. God is looking at you. You went to war to take land of people that didn't do anything against you. Just watch me. In 20, 30 years, people stronger than you will wipe you out. It will be in the news that time. They won't know what happened. See, anyway, what am I trying to say? When you read bad news, go and pray. At least, what do? Deliver yourself. At least, God said, Jeremiah, was it Jeremiah? Jeremiah was praying. God looked at him and said, Jeremiah, you don't try. I'll do something for you. I'll give you your own life as your reward. Yeah, it's possible in the midst of everything. Because you know your own blessing? You travel this road a million times, day and night. No evil will befall you. So you know your blessing? Your children will go for NYC in the most dangerous parts of this nation. Nothing bad will happen to them. And you, at least, will have delivered yourself. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's receive again from Him the grace to intercede. That's what you should just do. Just receive the grace. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's repent of that rejection of the. That one is very critical. That rejection thing is very critical. That rejection thing. I want each person to pray. Repent of that sin of rejection. That's the Spirit of God speaking to us this evening. The major thing that is. It's not what people think. It is rejection that's the problem. Next time God helping us, we'll bring us scriptures to pray for the land. We need to have specific words. They are written in scriptures. God said, this I want you to ask me to do for you. Ask the Lord to give you grace to be able to do it. Say, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace.
Let's ask God for forgiveness in areas where we may have erred. There are certain people, things, places you should be praying for. But you have since turned away, you stopped praying. Maybe out of offense, tiredness, the problems of this life, for whatever reason. you stopped. So say, Lord, I repent. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. I take up this assignment wholly. I will continue in prayer. I will continue in prayer.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Quickly, let's two people say, this is your season.
This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit
and the power of God.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
The second person, this is your season. Now one for yourself. This is my season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you, cherub brethren.